If you are a women-owned business, we want to talk to you because it's Women's Small Business Month. And here at 99.1 The Mix, we are highlighting lots of women in our community that are crushing it in the business world and getting to know what inspires them, how do they get through the tough days, and offer some insight into what it's like being a women-owned business. I am joined this morning with Marissa Geist, who is the CEO of Cielo. You may be thinking, what is Cielo? Well, we're going to get to all of that coming up, but we also want to tell you, we have a chance for you to win some free advertising on 99.1 The Mix. If you are a woman that owns a business, we want to know about it at 99.1themix.com. Enter where it says Women's Small Business for a chance to win some free advertising. Not bad. So again, 99.1themix.com. Marissa, thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So what is Cielo?
So Cielo is a company that helps talent find business. So we are a white labeled outsourcer, which doesn't mean much to most people. But if you're hired into a company, we're the professionals that find you, advertise, engage you, and bring you into large organizations, global organizations. So we have recruiters, we have people that advertise on behalf of clients and really put the employer brand out into the market.
And this is all over the world.
All over the world. We advertise and recruit and attract in 80 plus countries in 37 languages.
Well, one thing about Cielo, little side note, is when I was working with a company and we were doing communication coaching, one of my clients was Cielo. And I worked with some of your employees. And what I found so interesting about your company is it's true when they say you become the client. And can you explain to people what that means and why that's so unique in regards to what you're doing with acquiring talent?
Sure. So our founder had the vision that to be able to really engage and attract talent, to have somebody really want to come work at your company, you have to have a personality that they want to engage with. So companies are really just a bunch of people trying to get something done. So when people think about where I'd like to work, they think about, what is it like to work there? Who are the people? What is the culture of the company? And so rather than us coming in and saying, oh, you need to find 1,000 people around the world to launch a new drug, or you need to open a new stadium, and so like let's hire 5,000 people to help do that. We say, what are you trying to do? What is the great reason to work at your company? And then we take all of that and we create an identity, your identity as a company, and then we bring that into the market. So really creating an emotional connection with the client brand that we serve versus saying, hey, we're Cielo and we're working on behalf of XYZ company.
Well, and it's smart because I always say people buy people. You think like, oh, you buy a product. No, what's the first thing you do whenever you're trying to buy something new? You go online, you ask your friends, you read the reviews. You want to hear what's that experience really like.
Yes.
Why do you think celebrities do endorsements with brands and things like that? It's all about that emotional connection. And it is really smart that you're doing that with Cielo. And no coincidence why you are seeing so much success, because you're framing it in that way for people to really recognize, hey, I'm going to spend a lot of time at this company. What are they really like?
And we work with great partners that have amazing cultures, and their hiring process didn't reflect that. So the first engagement you have with your new employer is when you're getting hired. And if you're not showcasing all the great things you do, your culture, your leadership, people aren't seeing what they're buying effectively.
Exactly. So. And people are then leaving.
Yes.
Like they're leaving during that process. And that costs companies so much more money when they have to go through the hiring and the onboarding all over again. I'm going to romanticize this. Think about a date. It's the first impression.
Totally.
Like, do you want to keep seeing this person? Do you want to keep engaging? Do you want to keep working there?
Yes. And we have so many companies that make a first great impression. The first date was great. And then you go radio silent.
Yeah.
People are doing the screening in the background. They're not keeping in touch. So the client is doing all the right things, but the candidate is thinking, do they want to talk to me again? Mm-hmm. What's happening? I can't get a hold of anyone. So we're really working to make sure what it's like to work at your company, all the great things that you do, show up really well and have a great experience engaging and attracting that talent. So that's our mission. And then we have to layer on all the new technology, AI, how people want to work in the future, advise on all of that globally. So it's really a changing world, but it's a fun world to be in. We think we're really shaping the way that people attract and find talent in the future.
And you definitely are doing that. You're doing that. And how did you get to this point? Let's go back a little bit. What is your background?
Well, I think everyone in talent acquisition or HR kind of got here by accident. It wasn't even a discipline, really, when I was going to college. It was sort of just beginning. I was actually a nonprofit. So I used to work with people with disabilities. I did AmeriCorps after college, which is like the Peace Corps for the U.S. And then I had my first son. And the great thing about working for a nonprofit is you really feel the sense of vision and purpose. A downside is there are no health benefits. So we were working with, at the time, a Manpower Group downtown, and I was writing a grant, and I had to go do some research on Manpower Group to include in the grant. And I saw they had a job opening for a proposal manager, which is basically the same as like a grant writer at a nonprofit. And so I applied, and that was 20 plus years ago, and I've been in the industry ever since. Wow. I didn't even really know this industry existed when I got into it. But once I got into it, and it's like the work of people, which is incredible. So I haven't looked back.
And that's something you clearly are passionate about. I mean, just knowing you personally, but also hearing your background, how you were in the nonprofit out to help people. Now you're helping people in another way. You're helping people find jobs, and you're helping companies find good talent and good people to work with them. So you're still in the business of helping people.
Still in the business of helping people. Peopling, doing all the things.
Peopling.
Peopling. And really, I think one of the incredible things that I've seen is how different the world of work is since I even joined the world of work. You know, I was thinking about just what it was like when I was a young working mom, dropping off my kids at daycare, running all these crazy hours, pretending that I didn't even have kids at work because that wasn't professional, not being able to bring your whole self to work, trying to balance what it was like having a dual income family when there weren't really any rules written about what does that look like when you go home? Who cooks dinner? Who gets the kids from daycare? And now, fast forward, we've had such great change. And that really is about people's attitudes towards what they do at work. How much can you talk about your family? How do you shop for an employer that matches what you want your every day? You spend as much time at work as you generally do at home with your family. It's a huge part of your life. And we kind of had cut it off as this artificial other part of our lives. So really coming in and watching that evolve as a particularly as a female leader has been incredible. So much change in a relatively short time period.
Definitely. Thank you for mentioning that, because that is, I feel, a big shift that I've witnessed since 2020 and the pandemic. People working from home and realizing for a lot of people, they benefited from that. And now these hybrid work schedules and a little more flexibility, a little more understanding that family things are going to happen and mental health and all those conversations. Kind of branching off of that with this next question, what do you do when it comes to having the business, having the kids, being a mom? I mean, they say, oh, can you have it all? And what it means to juggle all of that. What do you do to manage?
Well, I think even 5 years ago, I would have answered that question very differently.
Really?
The pandemic, yes. The pandemic definitely reshaped how I think I can balance my life. I was one of those people that thought, I can do it all. I should do it all. And actually, statistically, the higher up women achieve, the more they feel guilt and take on household chores. It's a totally counterintuitive thing, but I can appreciate it because I did it. It was
why not? Yeah, let's take care of all of it.
Just got off a plane. Let me clean a toilet. I'll go to the arts and crafts fair. And this overwhelming sense of you have to be everywhere to everyone because you can't disappoint anyone. And really all that does is run you ragged. And it shows your kids that this is what my mom is choosing to do. And actually, during the pandemic, being able to be at home, everyone sort of resetting their priorities. And then, as you know, I ended up with breast cancer. So being sick and just having a total reset of what am I doing and where am I spending my time and what is this showing my kids is totally reset, has totally reset how I think about it. Now, I ask for a lot more help. Mm. And my husband and I have a really open and honest conversation about what does it look like for him? What does it look like for me? And as a woman leader, I had to let go of a lot of the guilt. My kids don't care who packs their lunch as long as they have a lunch. They just want me around and paying attention to them and present. And so resetting that versus sort of these tapes I had in my head of what I needed to be for whom, that really has changed. And I'm so grateful for it. You know,
how do you surround yourself with people that you can delegate to when it comes to hiring, or when it comes to some people have a house manager, or just having those people? What do you look for when it comes to making those decisions?
So we've had a number of help options. We've used daycare. We had an au pair for a while. Now my husband actually stays home, which has been such an investment and quality of life increase for my family. What I look for are people that share the same view of what good looks like and really testing, you know, what does it look like on Monday morning at 9 a.m.? What do you think you should be doing? How does the house look? What are the kids doing? What do you think is your role here? And it's really interesting. Making a home is such a different thing, and everyone comes with a different idea in their mind.
So true.
And the friction of this is how you prioritize your day. When we first tried to have help in the home, it was sort of like we'd had this great assumption of like, yeah, okay, we're generally aligned. Let's do this. And really, it takes conversation. It takes overt expectation setting, and it takes prioritization. So I look for people, first of all, that had a good interaction with my kids.
Definitely.
Are they parenting by proxy in a way that I would be happy with? Do they have the same discipline? Do they have the same structure? And then from there, you kind of go and do the rest of the work by communication, resetting, expectation setting. But it's tough.
Well, and there's so much of that that you can even use in business when it comes to hiring a team and talking about, okay, what are the priorities? What are their values? Are they all aligned? Setting those expectations. I heard you say that, getting it out there, because you can't just assume what someone thinks is a job well done versus what's not. If they don't know the expectation, if they don't know the deadline, so to speak, well, then, yeah, it's going to be impossible to meet those expectations if you don't declare what they are.
Yes. And talk about them obsessively. And in fact, even with my husband, Paul, who's home, we have different ideas. So that poor person that's stuck in the middle of us, we have to talk about what are we doing every day? What's important? Where do we need to be? How are we prioritizing? And that is a daily conversation, at least. And sometimes it's even a reset at the end of the day. Someone's sick. I have to hop on a plane. We have to always constant communication. And yes, that is the same as working with anyone.
Sure.
Whether they work for you, you work for them. It's overt communication is the way to go.
Well said. And what does it mean to you to be a woman business owner, since that's what we're talking about? And any kind of adversity you felt like you faced being a woman in this position?
I have to say a huge thank you to the women that went before me, because I am the second CEO of our company. Sue Marks was the founder. She's a brilliant businesswoman. And when I think about the environment that she led a business in, it is completely different than what I walked into. So many women knocked open doors that were closed, reset expectations. And so I stand on the shoulder of a lot of great women who did a lot of hard yards getting us to where we're at. I think now how I think about being a women business leader is that I have to look for the next set of expectations to manage. I even think about the fact in my lifetime, you know, I couldn't have opened a credit card without my husband when I was born. And now I lead a global company. So, wow, is that a lot of social change? So what are the other things that have to go around that I can't take for granted that I am standing on the shoulders of those women? And now the expectation and obligation rolls forward. So they open the doors. Let's make sure it's a door people want to walk through. Is this an inclusive environment? Is it good for everyone to work in? I'm not saying we have to have everyone now as a woman leader. Too much of anything is too much. So how do we create the next level of balance in the workplace? How do I make sure I have four boys? They have to want to work in the workplace that I'm creating as well. So how do we rebalance and say, okay, we've got a new mix of people here at work. We've got a new mix of and way of working. What's the best way for us to all show up at work? And now what's standing in our way? So adversity is not the same as it was in the 90s. Sometimes when I watch shows, like I was even watching Legally Blonde, and like the fact that they were so, the top lawyer only asks the women to get coffee. I'm like, that was not that long ago.
You're right.
But there are still those things in the workplace. We just don't, they're so obvious to the people that feel like that moment in the 90s. We don't see them now because it's a new workplace. So what I feel like my obligation responsibility is to make sure that I'm creating a workplace that everybody wants to work in. And that I don't take lightly.
Oh, that's so awesome. What a great answer. And who inspires you?
So I have actually this dichotomy of two women that really have inspired me. So one is my mother. And my dad was an exec for my whole life. And so my dad traveled all the time. He was a very busy global executive. And my mom took the leadership of managing the household.
Got it.
And watching what it takes to manage and be a partner to someone who work demands so much of really showed me how it's possible to have a great family, have a great life, but it doesn't happen just because someone goes to work. So my mom really showed, my dad could not have done what he did without my mom. And then there was this other woman in my dad's life. He worked with her at one of the companies, Patricia. And every month my dad would go out to lunch with Patricia. And my mom would always joke about the fact that he's the other woman in my mom's life.
Yeah.
But she showed the other side of the coin. She came up as an executive in the time when women weren't executives. And she actually was at a huge global corporation. And they said, you know what? I think you've gone as far as you can. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that she was a woman. So she left and she started her own business. She had a husband that worked, and she ended up having 5 children, jeez, triplets even.
Oh my gosh.
But she showed how you can set boundaries and set up a system with a successful career and really what you need to have in terms of support and household help and the expectation of your husband even and who cooks dinner. So between my mom and Patricia, they kind of showed both sides of the coin of what it needs to look like at home, but also as a woman. You know, she did not feel obligated to cook dinner every night. That wasn't her job. She had another job.
She had another job to do.
That was revolutionary at the time. So just seeing the two different sides of the coin and knowing that you have to have both really inspired me and informed me. So those are the kinds of women that inspire me.
And look where you're at today. I mean, you clearly pull inspiration from both of them, from what you witness. And make no mistake, there are definitely men and women that look to you as an inspiration and look to you and see how you're handling things and being able to be a success. So you also are putting that out there. I mean, I'm one of those people. I look at Marissa Geis. I'm like, Marissa Geis, there's lots to learn from someone like you.
You're too sweet.
Thank you. Well, it's true. And what advice do you have for other women entrepreneurs? Entrepreneurs or business owners that might be hearing this interview that are maybe just getting started, or perhaps they're feeling like, am I supposed to continue on and keep doing this?
I would say they always tell you lots of advice when you're starting off as a new leader. I think everyone just pours buckets of advice on you, but I think the biggest thing that helped me was getting a network, get your support. And I would say there are 4 areas where I really rely on my network for support. One is actual emotional support. So people that have a shared experience that can let you know you're not alone. When you are leading, it is a lonely place. And to meet with other people that have no stake in what your outcome is or what you need, you can just say, hey, are you experiencing the same thing I am? It just feels so much more possible when you are not feeling like you're the only person in the world going through this. And the second thing is inspiration. It's tough every day leading. You know, you're like you said here at the radio station, when you're talking to the audience, like you're trying to draw so much energy and you put so much energy out, you need someone that gives you energy back and inspiration.
Yes.
And keeps your brain from kind of going flatline on just, I've given all I can give and I have nothing else. So places where you can get inspiration and energy from. And then laughter. My best friends are the people that keep me going. And if I didn't have laughter, and they come from all different industries, all different levels, all different life experiences, but when I'm with them and my stomach hurts from laughing, I can do anything after I leave a dinner with them or a happy hour. It's so restorative. And then the last is aspiration. I think it's really hard if you don't have someone that you look forward to becoming in the future. So who is your hero that you are like, okay, I'm looking to this person because I think they're really doing it well in some aspect, not in maybe even in your professional life, but just someone who you look at and you say, wow, they're really doing well. I have one friend who is amazing at her own wellness and fitness. And I'm like, if I can do that every day, then I'll feel like a superhero. And it's just something that you're like, I need to go get that. I need to go drive towards that. So I think if you can get a balance of filling your own bucket, making sure you've got laughter, making sure you've got friends and support, and you have something that you have to have on the horizon that you're going for, you'll be okay.
Well, it's important to remember, like you said, leadership roles or not, that lonely feeling, we can get so stuck in the funk of whatever is going on in your life, and you can put those blinders on, that it is important to make sure you have those other outlets.
Yes.
And ways to just, even just removing yourself physically from the room and taking a walk and having those different ways of getting different eyes on the project or on the thought, taking a break, I love that you brought up those four needs that you have, and that having that helps you get to where you need to be. And as a leader, you are in a position of influence. And so when you are really leading with your heart and your mind and you're all in, that ripple effect of what you're doing with your team goes beyond just what's happening at the workplace. So thank you for being one of those leaders in our community and for sharing that insight for all of us, because we look to you and think, okay, what's Marissa doing? Let's take note.
Oh boy, that's a bit, but we talk about the leadership shadow a lot, where people look to what you're doing, and your shadow of your actions casts a big influence. And I do
so
try
true.
To think
yes.
of this, that, yes. you know, I could be saying all these great things, but if I go and have destructive behavior at home or self-sabotaging, or people hear my negative self-talk, I'm not modeling what I'm talking about. And then they don't believe anything that comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So really thinking about how you show up as a leader is so critical. And be kind to yourself when you don't match the aspiration of what's sitting in your head. That's probably what I would say also. Be
yeah.
kind to yourself in your head. You would never talk to your friends the way you talk to yourself.
Right? It's
yes.
so true. And having those moments, like you said, where you can step back and talk to the really close friend or whoever the support system is that you can let things out to. And that's a safe place to do that, because we have to go there with some of those thoughts
yes.
and energies as well. Well, how can we support CLO? If people are listening to this and they're thinking, wait a second, I like what this company's doing. What is the website? How can we support your company?
So we're clotalent.com. If you are an HR leader or a business transformation leader that's interested in learning more about how you can modernize your talent acquisition and talent attraction, look us up. Go to our website. Learn about the content. We have lots of resources out there for you.
Well, thank you so much for being on today, Marissa. Always appreciate the time with you.
Thank you.
You are an incredible, incredible person, and you're doing really great things, again, for your company and beyond that, and in the community.
I'm going to take you with me as part of my fill my bucket strategy.
Oh.
Just put that on repeat and say, I'm feeling down. I'm going to listen to Elizabeth.
See,
she's my hype woman.
And it's important to have things like that. It really is important to do that. Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And again, if you want to reach out, it's clotalent.com. C-I-E-L-O. If you want to get in contact with Marissa, she's doing great things. And if you have a business that you want to promote, or you want to get that advertising, because we're giving that away right now, go to 991themix.com to get signed up. Thank you so much, Marissa.
Thank you.